Welcome to Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports show. Brought to you by the award-winning father and son car building team and the hosts of the show, Bubba and Tom.
And there we go, Bub. Good morning. It's Saturday morning here, man. How are we doing today?
Hey, man, doing pretty good so far. Just, you know me, out in the facility already cranking away on some insane rides, man, and getting a bunch of one-off stuff done.
Yeah, man, you're definitely working away out there, man. You're working on the Bubba's Exotic Motors Sports 911 GT3 conversion, man.
Yeah, man, it's coming together really strong, man. A lot of crazy supercars in here right now. We're having a lot of fun with the stuff and, you know, really just doing some one-off trend-setting designs right now. And it takes a lot of work, a lot of overtime, a lot of hours. And
it has been, man.
I'll tell you what, man, it pays off when you see it. You see it on the social media side. You see it in the work, the production, what goes on and what hits the streets of South Florida. Insane.
Bub, it's been a really good week. We're going to talk a little bit about that. This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique, all on the web now. MissOutlawBoutique.com. Orange County Choppers. Orange County Choppers. Are choppers done?
Bubba style.
Bub, we got a big show today, man. Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man.
This is going to be an incredible show.
Yeah.
My very good friend, your very good friend, the Tuttles, are going to join us coming hot off the season, the inaugural season opener. Just an epic show Monday night, man. American Chopper's back, man.
Yeah, man, pretty good. It's, you know, that's crazy that, you know, to see that they're back on TV. You know, that the last time people saw anything from any of the boys from Orange County, from American Chopper, Discovery's TV series, you know, it kind of ended in turmoil. You know, it was really dramatic. It was, you know, super, you know, depressing to even watch the show.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of nonsense going on, a lot of crazy things going on.
Man.
And, you know, it's amazing to see that over the time and over the years, so much has changed. And now everybody in the entire world is going to see what's changed, what's new for everybody, up there in the New York area. And, you know, what the boys have coming out.
It's amazing. And we're going to be talking to my good friend, your good friend, Bub, Paul Sr. We're going to have Mikey on. I'm going to let you and Mikey go at it, man. You two are the clowns of clowns. Senior and I are the ones that like to break it all. You guys are the clown. Here's Johnny and Nick, our good friend, the pants stuff, and Nick's going to be on the phone with
us. Hey, that's right, man. We're ready.
A lot of fun, man.
We're ready.
Great show. Good morning. Good morning out there to Kelly. Good morning to Jack Bias. Jack is up there in Canada. He's joining us, man. Jack's doing a lot of great stuff up there. I want to know more about how Jack's project's coming along, Bub. He was building the 54 Chevy, wasn't he, man?
Yeah, that's right, man. He's got a lot of stuff going on up there as well, man. So anything that he needs help with, Jack, feel free, bro. Just reach out and ask us and we'll help you.
Thanks for being
on. Even when it comes down to just basic pictures and stuff, you know, when you're doing bracket installs, anything like that, if we've done it, we'll shoot you over. You know, pictures and tech tips on how to finish that up.
Bub, Orange County Chopper is out today. It's the unveiling of the new Spartan bike. I'm going to ask Joni a little bit about that, man. I got to know. I don't know that much about this bike yet, man. Mm-hmm. Do you?
No, not actually. I don't know.
And usually we find out behind the scenes, man. I'm excited to learn more about that, man.
Well, you know, it's crazy, man, because, you know, I thought about this when I was actually watching the show, you know, on Monday night. You know, I was watching, they did the unveil on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
You know, that's when Discovery went ahead and dropped the show again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's crazy. I was just sitting there looking at, you know, it's people don't understand how much time truly goes into like the art of like the automotive world, whether it be cars, trucks, bikes, boats, jets, jet boats, stuff like that. You know, there's so much time that goes into it, man. And I think a lot of people truly don't see how much time goes into it, how much overtime goes into it, how much work it takes to get just one small piece, even if it is, you know, there were scenes that were shown that were the smallest pieces in the world could be what make or break a delivery or a deadline a 30 or 50 second or 50 cent part.
Yeah, it's crazy. Good morning to Joe Kramer up there, Fairfax, Virginia. Mark Hoffman, BEM, dirt track driver. He's tearing it up there. Good morning to Jeff Graham. We're doing a beautiful Camaro for Jeff, man. It's looking really, really good.
You know, that thing, now that it's in polish, boy, it's looking
car,
wet.
Man. It's a gorgeous car. Good morning to Spanky from Spanky's Hot Rods, man. He's out there with us. Ladies and gentlemen around the world, thank you. We're touched. We appreciate you joining. Man, I got goosebumps. You guys give me goosebumps, Bub. You give me goosebumps. Thank you for joining the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast in the world. We are just moments away from the iconic Paul Sr., Mikey, pants-stuffing Nick, and his beautiful bride, Paula Jr.'s senior's beautiful bride, Joni, joining us live.
God,
right,
that's
here,
funny, man.
It's going to be a great show today, man. A lot of good things. You know, the Tuttles are very, very good friends of ours, Bub. Senior and I kind of have that mentoring. Let's break it and destroy it kind of approach. You and Mikey are kind of fun guys.
You know what's funny too is I've noticed, and we'll talk more specifically once Senior calls in. But it's funny how, you know, there was a time where he was full throttle, 110%. I mean, he was just wide open, didn't matter, wrecking everything,
Like I do, I just break everything.
No, just in terms of everything, you know, just going for it, and you know, which is, of course, like spitting image of you as well. So
right, good morning, Spanky.
You know, it's crazy when you look at how there were times when, especially when you look back at, you know, previous years in history and the American Chopper series, you look back at some of that stuff and you see like how, you know, how literally there would be altercations all the time. And that's how you and I used to be. And, you know, now as the years have progressed, you know, you can see that Senior's got the look in his face where he just, he understands like now, like what things just, you know what, I'm just letting it go. It's not even going to get to me. You know, and you can see that in his
that's
in
very
face.
Touching.
You can
yeah.
see the fact
yeah.
that it's like, you know what, I'm not gonna get upset over that. I'm just gonna move on.
Yeah, yeah. And I still take a lot of it to heart. I definitely do. Good morning, Bub, Tom, and Big Money. The BEM 88, 32, and 12 teams ran Potomac Speedway last night and all had solid top fives, Bub, between all three teams, man.
Robin, can you please keep that on your personal Facebook page?
I get goosebumps too. Ha ha. Good morning. Good morning to the beautiful Robin. How are you out there? Out in Tampa today, Bub? Heading home today or something like that, right?
Yeah, I have no idea, actually. None. Zero.
Yeah, well, at least she's up and moving around. Jack Bias said, still up there in Toronto, in Canada, saying he's still stripping down the 54, but just picked up a 40 Chevy truck, thinking on of jumping 40 Chevy first, then putting the 54 on hold. Right on, man.
Nice.
That's a very, very cool thing.
Yeah, really good stuff. Bub.
How about that, man? He's moving and grooving out there, man. A lot of great stuff. So it sounds like the BEM Dirt team is doing really good, headed by our master driver up there. Bill's doing a great job, man, up there, Bub.
Yeah.
He just tears it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, Bub, now how about this? How about the fact that Joni announced that Mikey, and I'm going to get on Mikey about this, is going to be their new marketing coordinator up there at Orange County Choppers, man.
Hey, you know, it's funny too, because it's, you know, that's all that stuff that goes on behind the scenes that not many people know about. So I'd love to, you know, really get going on that conversation with the guys once they get on. But
I'm
going
to promote you to the new marketing manager.
Okay. I kind of do that already anyways.
No, you don't.
Come on, dude.
All you do is wreck things.
No chance.
Everything.
Yesterday, two things wrecked from you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk to Senior about that.
We're going
to
let him know. And, you know, so I guess that's the way it rolls. You know, a lot of crazy things are going on, but it's, you know, I can't wait to actually, you know, find out what the, you know, the background to it is, because as everybody doesn't know, you know, Mikey, as much as they've made him look to, you know, be a wreck and just very fun, he's
very
actually
different side of that.
Very, very smart, very intelligent, man. Crazy background there. So, you know, you guys will stay tuned and hear some of that as well.
Yeah. The other thing side of it too, did you see the way when Joni called him in, Joni and Senior called him in, they go, we need to talk to you. They called him. He was, you know, out back in the loading dock, you know how OCC set up in Newburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you know where the loading dock is on the west side of the building right there.
Mm-hmm.
So he was back on the loading dock back there and they called. And Joni said, Mikey, can you come up front, please? So Mikey comes around and as soon as he walks in the door, Joni goes, we have to let you go. And he turns around and goes, okay, goodbye, and walks out of the room. Did you see when he did that?
No.
And she goes, and he was leaving, right? And Senior goes, no, seriously, Mikey, come back in here, man. We got to talk to you. And that's when they dropped the dime that he was going to be their new marketing manager.
Which is pretty cool.
It is really cool, man. They're, you know, they're just really, really, really good people.
Yeah.
So good morning to Robin Vernon from South Beach Classics out there, man. I mean, she's out there tearing it up as well, Bub. A lot of good things going on over there, man.
Yeah.
So lots of great stuff going on everywhere in the industry, huh?
Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
Crazy, man. So we are going to just moments away from our good friends, Paul Sr., Mikey, Joni, and Nick the Pant Stuffer calling in, Bub, and we're going to talk about that iconic show that aired. They're going to do it again, man. They set the footprint in the motorcycle industry parallel to what Harley Davidson did and have continued to do, and now they're set to do this again, Bub.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy that, you know, everybody goes through ups and downs, as everybody knows, and, you know, when you look at it, you look at the history of it, you know, even watching on Memorial Day Monday. So first thing in the morning, you know, I text you at like maybe 7 a.m.
Yes.
Discovery was already playing some of the previous shows.
That's correct.
You know, from back in the early 2000s. And, you know, even sitting and watching those, when you're watching, you know, guys like Rick Petko over there, and you're watching everybody get their hands in there, and, you know, you're seeing what to me, when I watch television, I very rarely watch it, but that to me, the way that the shows were produced and developed, those were shows that I was interested in doing, because to me, they gave people some sense of hope, like, hey, you know what, maybe I can do that, you know? And, you know, that was when I was growing up a long time ago, you know, watching Billy Lane, watching Jesse,
there it is. There it is, guys,
you know,
right
watching
there.
All those guys who are now my great friends,
yeah.
You know, being able to watch that stuff, you can, the way that the shows and the development was done was that you could literally look at something, you know, you'd watch these guys that when, you know, maybe it's making a gas tank, maybe it's rolling a fender, maybe it's just taking a pre-built fender and then cutting a different design into it with a cutoff wheel, right? And some tape. Well, to the end user, the guy that's watching or the viewer, you know, the guy that's watching, maybe he's got that roll of tape and maybe he's got some little bobber in his shed that he's trying to build. And maybe he just wants to come up with something. He just needs that push for a design. That was the spot where you could literally be like, you know what? I've got cutoff wheels. I'm going to go out and I'm going to give it a whirl.
And Bub, it's funny too, because kind of before American Chopper started, before it hit the air, Billy Lane was out there. And of course, you know, you mm-hmm. and I were always doing this since you were the age of four together.
Yeah.
But you credit Billy as having a huge impact on your life in terms of your fabrication and design, your fabrication skills anyways.
Yeah, you know, it's and like I mentioned, it's the way it was shown, man. It's, you know, the way that you could literally watch these guys, you know, whether it was Billy or Paul Sr., Paul Jr., you know, Rick Petko, all these great, you know, great builders and designers out there in the industry, Jesse, you know, Indian Larry, you watch all these guys that would take this just idea that just pops into their freaking head. And that's the way Junior does it too. He doesn't script things. He doesn't draw them. He doesn't, it's nothing.
Well, neither
just,
do you, Bob.
He's just right there. He puts that vision in his head and he goes to town on it. And as he builds and designs, it just comes out as he does it. And that's, to me, those are true artists when it just comes out. You don't have to pre-plan it. You don't have to come up with some crazy ideas. You just go to town and the whole thing comes together at the end. Of course, you make changes along the way. That's what any good designer and artist would do. But, you know, that's what makes it fun.
Bub, I want to say good morning. Here's a blast from the past. You ready for this, Bub? Look into that camera and say good morning to Albert's brother, Billy.
What up, Billy?
Billy, how you doing, man? For those of you who don't know, Bill Brummett has been a very, very – he's been a lifetime friend of ours. He's a family friend, Bub. His brother, Albert, worked with us for many, many, many years, and mm-hmm. we'd love to have him back working with us again
mm-hmm.
These years. Billy, how is everything in Virginia? Glad you're joining us. We're just moments away from the iconic Paul Sr., Mikey, and Nick the Pants Stuffer joining us, along with Paul's beautiful wife, Joni, going to join us, too. They're undoing the unveil of the Spartan bike. I've been talking to Joni this morning. I haven't gotten the talking points on the Spartan bike, so I don't know that much about it, but we're going to find out more about it today, Bub.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty easy.
Yeah, really looking forward to
it. At least I didn't wreck Senior's Polaris yet.
Yeah, that's actually surprising, too.
I haven't been on it.
No, I know. There's a reason for that. I kept the key.
There really is, isn't it, man?
I mean, seriously.
And that's sitting right out here. It's in the main facility.
I'm kind of curious where that thing's going to end up going, because I feel like
I know you've got plans for it.
The longer it sits, the more the ideas grow.
Yeah, I know you've got plans for it. I know you've been talking to potential sponsors on that as well.
Yeah.
So he comes down to, we take that down to his house here, South Florida. And the next thing you know, it's like lifted on 37s or something like that.
Yeah, probably not that big.
No?
No. Maybe in that 27 to 30 inch range is perfect on those.
That'd be so hilarious.
Pretty massive, pretty meaty. Yeah.
Because Joni pretty much wears dresses everywhere she goes.
Yeah. Well, it'll be flying up when I supercharge this thing.
Oh no, ladies and gentlemen, you're gonna have to wait for that one. So,
yep.
Bub, coming off of Monday night's show, what did you think, man? What was your impression? As we know, Pilgrim TV has that show again.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna take it to the top again. What did you think about where it was left, man? In terms of what the viewer's going to see.
You know, I think it's typical, Pilgrim Productions. I think it's, you know, the way that they end the series is they gave you a whole, you know, they give you every one of the shows that you see is well, so well developed, man. Everything from, you get a little bit of everything in there. You get a little bit of the stress, you get a little bit of the drama, you get a little bit of the realization of it. You get a little bit of the design side. You get the information, the informative side where, you know, they're kind of showing a little bit of how the production's going. You don't just see the scene where it goes from like start, finish, and then there's like before, after. You get the in-betweens and along the way. you know, and I also think that they always set it up to leave you wanting more,
mm-hmm.
to where you have to wait for the next week or the next episode that comes up. And I think that's what's great. That's what creates great shows and longevity. And that's what they did, you know, 15, 10 years ago. Yeah, it was, man, a 10-year stretch, and that's awesome.
Hey, Bob, what do you think about what's going to happen with Senior and Junior?
You know, that's a tricky one, man. That's just one where we're going to have to just wait and see.
You already know.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
What do you think is going to happen? See, Paul, Paulie looked a little bit sad. He was worried about his dad's acceptance. I was talking with Joni during the show, when it aired. We know, there's a great deal of admiration for his father there.
Mm-hmm.
And, likewise from Senior to Junior as well, man.
Yeah.
And they have a tremendous amount of respect for each other. It would be my guess that those two are going to join forces.
Well, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of things that went on between the two, and, you know, a lot of which that 90% of the world will never know about.
That's correct.
You know, but when you're trying to deal with stuff like that, there's two options, essentially. One option is part ways and be done and never look back. Or option two is close the door and start fresh and work forward. And, you know, that's really your only two options. If you stay in that middle ground, if there is a third option, you stay in that space in between, it's just going to be misery, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about the book that dropped, the drama they dropped with the book that Junior wrote? Have you read that book yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I let's wait and see, huh?
Right. Good morning to the snowman. Bob's out there watching as well. Bob, while we wait for Senior to call in, they're probably looking for a quiet place to call for because they are at the Spartan Unveil. While we wait for them, let's talk about the one-of-one GT40X1 you're finishing out there. It's all over our social media, man. That car is being tracked very carefully by the GT owners of the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the owner did leak pictures of that car being built out to the world. And the GT40 community is on fire about this right now. They are chomping at the bit to see it live. And you did the unveil of the world's first 2018 Hellion Twin Turbo 6-speed Mustang ever built, man.
Yeah, you know, there's some insane rides here at BEM right now. We've got some really, really, really big projects going on. I mean, everything from our resto mods and our pro tourings, which we're finalizing on some pretty, pretty solid ones right now, that have been pretty long-term projects, man. Those things always are. But everything from the resto mod pro touring stuff to the exotics, to the supercars, to the motorsports side, the ATVs, the UTVs, man, everything you could possibly imagine, the on-road, off-road, the trucks, the Jeeps, the supercar side, the exotic side. I mean, we're doing some crazy stuff, and it's just, I mean, 24/7 around here right now, getting these rides designed and built. And, you know, along with that, one of these rides is, of course, a one-of-one Ford GT conversion to a GTX1. They are concept builds. They were concept designs, and they're pretty insane, man. It's crazy, you know, when you actually take that kind of car out and you run it and you drive it.
You drove it the other day, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you know, just took it out just to get all the fluids moved around and get that thing up on its feet ready to deliver to the client. It's incredible, man. You know, that was a super powerful car. I mean, great design, great handling for... You know, back in 2006, 2007, 2006, this car is, mm-hmm. You know, back in that time, that was still kind of like a middle ground for, you know, we're starting to really build some cars with some pretty good horsepower in them. You know, I think in the mid 2000s, I mean, our horsepower ratings were in the 400 or 500 range. And, you know, this car being at the 750 plus mark, pretty insane, man. And that thing, you know, the way it came out of the gate from mass production from Ford, the Ford GTs, it's, pretty solid all around car, you know, the all aluminum body and chassis, the composite paneling on it. I mean, everything down to the carbon switches, to the aluminum flooring. And you know, you take the seats out of this car that are carbon and you start pulling up carpet and all you see is aluminum chassis work everywhere. So structurally super, super strong, really lightweight. And then you throw in supercharged V8 behind that and you've got an animal.
Yeah. And Bob, you had it out the other day. It sounded really, really good. Looked really, really good. It's really cool to look in the main facility. You know, there's two Porsches sitting in there. There's this GTX1 sitting in there. There's the 2018 Hellion Twin Turbo Mustang sitting in there and a couple of the classic cars as well sitting in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. When you look at it, this GTX1 is pushing north of 600 grand. It's a very, very, it's a one of one car.
Yeah.
And it's very, very treasured. It's very, very looked at by the community.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited when the owner was saying that, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready, Bob? We'll jump back on this.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, around the world, I am honored. I mean, absolutely honored. I have chills to introduce to everybody around the world. Everybody knows the name, the Tuttles. They are just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. Coming off of the new American Chopper series, Bob, I'm just honored to. I'm at a loss for words, man.
Yeah.
What do you think, man?
What do we got,
ladies and gentlemen around the world? The Tuttles. Good morning.
Hey guys.
Good morning. How are you guys?
There they are, ladies and gentlemen.
Sup, senior? Sup, Joni?
How is everybody?
Everybody's good. We're just running a little late. We're going to a Spartan race this morning to unveil the Spartan bike, which I think you guys, of all people, will love this bike.
Oh, Joni, tell me about it, man. What? I don't have many talking points on it. I was talking to Bub on the intro a little bit. Tell me a little bit about it, Joni. I don't know much about this unveil.
So we brought in a guy from Colorado. His name is Joshua. Beyond talented. He hand fabricated, and I mean from flat metal, this bike that every inch of it is hand fabricated.
Wow.
And I think that we have not seen a bike like this in a good many years. It's going to blow you away. I'm not going to blow the surprise, but I promise you right after the unveil, you're getting the first picture of it.
Oh, thank you. And you know what, Joni, you guys are always very kind to Bub and I. You trust us and you share those things with us. And for you not to share it with us before, that's saying something, you know, that really is.
We didn't want to ruin the surprise, but Paul can tell you a little bit about it. You know, he's more of the fabricator guy himself, and he was the visionary behind it. So I'll let him tell you a little bit about it.
So, Senior, first of all, congratulations on your new marketing manager.
Oh, thank you.
Senior, between Bub and Mikey, it's not going to be good, right? The whole marketing scheme is going to go right out the window. We might as well just stick to what we're doing best, and that's breaking things.
Yeah, it's just a matter of a short time.
So, Senior, how you doing, man? Ladies and gentlemen around the world, the iconic Paul Senior. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. actually doing a Spartan race today. Actually, that we're on our way over there, and I'm not too sure about it.
You know what? Senior, just employ the mentality you and I tend to employ on everything. If we don't like it, break it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be the oldest guy there at 69, and so you know what? It's a challenge, and I've always liked challenges in my life, and just like this last bike was quite a challenge to put together to represent Spartan. But it's really, really, really a cool bike.
I can't wait to see it, man. I just can't
wait
to see it. And let me ask you, Senior, real quick, and everybody else, Bub, on a scale of 1 to 10, you don't give out tens at all.
Mm-hmm.
You said on Monday's show, you mm-hmm. graded the new American Chopper a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the right reasons, because the mm-hmm. emotions were there.
Mm-hmm.
Senior was there. Mikey was there.
Mm-hmm.
Nick the Pants Stuffer was there. Joni was there. You know, Junior was there. The whole crew was there.
Yeah.
We liked the way that Pilgrim, again, set up the plot and kept us waiting for more.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your evaluation on that, man.
Well, you know, I thought it was great, man. It's, you know, of course, sitting back, you know, watching the shows, it's one of those things. We were actually, we were over at the Miami Marlins manager's house, and I literally told everybody it was Memorial Day barbecue. I told everyone, I was like, listen, guys, having a great time, but here's the reality. Right now, I'm going to sit in front of the TV.
These are my friends.
10 to 11.
They influenced me professionally.
Like, nobody talk to me. Nobody do anything. This is where you can find me if you need me, but I'm going to go sit down. I'm going to watch this. Sorry, I'm out.
So, and Joni and Senior, let me paint the picture. Okay. They'll run. They'll call back in.
Yeah.
So let me paint the picture. The way that went down, you were at the Marlins manager's house, right? And you, they have this particular manager has a beautiful backyard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tiki hut with mm-hmm. televisions and everything like that all over the place. Right.
Yeah.
So, he has a projection screen out there, right? A big projection TV out there, and it projects against this mural that's painted on this huge wall.
Yeah.
Right. And so everybody's sitting out there around a big pit fire watching this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great, great, time, I'm sure.
Yeah. Really good.
Right, man.
Yeah.
So it, they may have hit a bad spot. I'm sure they'll call back in and we can get back in with them. So anyways, it was, I'm sure that was a great time, man. It was
yeah.
a really good time to have everybody out there. Of course, you had a couple of, former Miami Marlins out there as well.
Yeah. Really good time.
So it, really good time, man. Really, really good time, man. So now they're going to unveil the Spartan Bike Club. This sounds like it's going to be a pretty interesting project.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, man.
I can't wait. I guess, and for Joni not to share that with us beforehand, maybe?
Well, you know, that's when you know how under the wrap something has to be when, you know, and how big the build and design was when, you know, it doesn't even get unveiled, you know, behind the scenes. And trust me, we see all those things before they roll out. So it'll be nice to see once they actually pull the cover off the Sandy unveil today for the Spartan race. We'll see what that sucker looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool, Bob. I cannot wait to see that. It's going to be a neat bike.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly. I got to find out more who the Spartan company is. I want to find out. Let me see if I can. Let's see if we can ring this back in here.
Yeah.
845. Let's see. 3.
Give us 1 second here. The call dropped out on their end.
Yeah. We'll dial them back in here. And they may have just been in a bad spot, Bob. Let's see if we can catch them back in with this, Bob. Well, no, in just a second here. There we go, Bob. There we are. Look at that. See, isn't modern technology great? You can just call right back in from the studio, even when you have a call drop off.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Except now he won't answer because he doesn't recognize the number.
Yeah, no, he knows the studio hotline. Yeah, they've got it in their phone. So it's okay. They may have just been in a bad spot. Could have been a bad cell there. You know how it is. I don't even know where they are, Bob.
Exactly. I don't know.
You know either?
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyway, as we're getting it back on the line, we were talking a little bit about that very iconic GTX1, Bob. And we're working a little bit more. We're learning a little bit more about the carbon fiber, the aluminum structure. North of 600 grand is kind of where we left off with that, man.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about why is it just that the one, man? Why is it one of one?
Well, you know, it's one of one for many reasons, you know. So it's not only the design of the Ford GT, but it is also an X1 conversion. So that's when you take these things and you turn them from the Ford GT, you do a lot of custom body molds and styling cues to them. And you take them and you put them over the top. Typically what that means is you take the original design of the Ford GT, which was a full solid door, and the door went, you know, it kind of molded and wrapped over your head. So as you open the door on these cars, you had almost this look of like a gullwing style door, but it came out, you know, naturally. It opened up like a normal door. And this, the, you know, the center portion of the roof of these cars would actually open up with the door as well, which is why the door is actually open to almost a 90-degree angle on those cars.
It looks like a D on the top.
Yeah, it looked like a letter D. Yeah. You know, it pulled out the entire roof of the car as it opened up. So it was kind of a crazy design, weird design, strange design. I always thought totally different, totally unique. But what happened is these guys with these X1s, they wanted these X1 conversions, and that typically gave you some sort of either a one-piece, a two-piece, a three-piece, or even a five-piece style top for these cars, whether you had a, you know, one-piece hard top or a T-top style conversion, but it gave you the options of having normal style doors on the car, and then you would have removable T-tops if you wanted to, and so on and so on. Well, when you get into doing those mods, a lot of that carried from not just the door area and like the passenger compartment over your head, but also into the rear engine cover area. And you started getting into custom molds back there, doing custom carbon fiber, custom fiberglass, and custom aluminum panels. And that's what these cars consisted of. So it took a lot of time. As you know, I'm hundreds of hours into this thing. You know, the car has been all the way down to a bare aluminum chassis, just the way Ford would have rolled it down the assembly line.
Yep.
And then back up from there, you know, you do all these body mods, you do, you know, custom front and rear bumpers, custom door molds, custom roof, custom hood. I mean, all the body panels on this car have been custom molded and fit so that you had this conversion that is on our design here at BEM. We did a one piece style target top, very simple for the client.
Crazy, man,
so
what
it's,
you did with that.
You can literally just pull two pins and lift the top off of the car.
Do you want to talk about the pins that you use? Where you went through several designs of that, Bob. Originally, when they tried to attempt this thing, they wanted to use Velcro, which, like you said, at 100...
You can't Velcro a top onto a car, man. Come on.
Yeah.
One catch a win and that sucker's gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob, what did you... So how did you finally wind up with the design? And this is part of what the GT X1 conversion owners have been looking at so carefully because they couldn't figure out how to do it. So how did you want, you went through several design incarnations with this
as well. Yeah, it's, you know, to build and design something like that, this is, it's not something that was ever supposed to be. So if it was, Ford would have done it, right? It was never supposed to be this way. So you've got to really come up with something that not only is functional, but is easy to use and also looks like it should. And that's a really hard combo to put together when you're working with something that was never, ever meant to be. That's a hard line to push, you know, to try to make 100% out of what should be zero. And, you know, that's a really tricky one to do. You know, but we did it. You know, we came up with this design and, you know, we designed a one-piece target top for it. All carbon fiber. So the, you know, the material of itself is all carbon. So it's super, super lightweight, really, really strong. And it, you know, we designed it to the mold of the car, to the shape of the Ford GT, but it's just a one piece design. So from the driver's side door all the way to the passenger side door, you can pull two pins and lift this top right off and have a target top assembly where you're just cruising with the sun beating down on you.
And ironically, Bob, tell people what you wound up using. You originally looked at using Ford Thunderbird, style 55 to 57 style latches that were found in the removable tops of the Ford Thunderbirds, the 55 through the 57s. But you decided you wanted to modernize that even more and bring it forward as you, you were working through that original reincarnation, and you moved it over to what?
Well, it's essentially, it's just a universal turnbuckle style latch assembly that's just got a Heim joint on either end of it. So it's fully adjustable. So you can adjust if you need to, as weather strip sits in, and you know, you can have that adjustment there. Again, thinking for that functionality later on, because adjustments do need to change as weather strip does start squeezing itself down over years. The, you know, the length of the top being on this car, probably very slim anyways, but it's always there for in case this client wants to drive it on maybe a rainy weekend or a long tour. Maybe he's not going to be near his
power
house.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So you want it to be functional and fully adjustable. And it's just nothing more than two safety release pins. You just pull them and it pops right up, and that's
right on, right on, man. Good morning to the beautiful Layla Von Acey, your better half, Bub.
Yeah.
So mom and daughter are there.
Cool.
How about that, man?
That's
isn't that cool that technology, isn't it amazing that technology can bring people all the way across the world in two different places all together as under one roof?
Yeah, man.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
We're thankful for that. Hey, Bub, wanted to go on to now. Let's talk more about one of the things you just said. As you built into this design, you wanted the top to have room to seat itself. Weather strip. It compresses over the years.
Yeah.
So you decided to use a Heim joint type setup so you could make adjustments to it. You can tighten it down through the years. Why?
You know, so you've got a continuous seal, you know, and that's, probably like I mentioned on this kind of ride, this kind of client, probably not going to drive the thing ever, or if any, in the rain. But that top is there as that safety option. I mean, this is both two tops. This is a hard top assembly, and there's also a soft top assembly for this car. So it's many pieces all put together. Even if he did go on a longer road trip, he could literally throw the soft top because it does fold up.
It does.
You throw that into the front compartment on those cars right above the front wheels, and it would sit snug in there. Now, the target top, the hard piece, the hard one piece, there's virtually nowhere to put the car. And that was a big struggle in coming up with this design. So it's one of those things where you either take it with you or you leave it at home.
So, Bob, one of the things is these were done by a Ford authorized, a former Ford employee who was authorized to do these X1 conversions.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of people got burned in the process of dealing with this conversion. And these cars, that's why it's being watched so carefully what you're doing. And that's why it was brought here, because of the perfection of what you do and the time you're willing to put into it. And the community is watching very carefully. The owner said yesterday in his very own words, he said he's been waiting. How did he say above? He said, this is like a dream come true from him. He's been waiting to drive this car, and he couldn't because of the way it was butchered previously.
Yeah.
And what you've done is just incredible. And apparently he was sharing all those pictures that from the daily updates I would send him with the other GT 40 forum owners. So kind of crazy the way it went down and what you've brought forth, I guess, to the game. It looks to me like you're going to be flooded by a bunch of these things.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. Not fun.
Huh? Awesome.
Yeah. So, Bub, we also have...
I haven't stopped itching from the carbon fiber for the past 3 months.
Yeah, it's
so been I'd a, pass.
It's been a lot, hasn't it, Bub?
Yeah.
It really has. But now that you've got it down, would you say you can incorporate that into the next series of cars that would roll in here?
Yeah, you know, it's... Well, here's the crazy part. The hard part is, you know, there were a lot of these cars, you know, and I started off talking about these things, the GTXs, you know, there were different designs. So... Yeah. every one of them might be butchered a little bit more differently than the other. You know, some might be a one piece style design that was initially set forth. One might be a three piece style, a T-top style design. One might be a five piece. So it's really about, you know, every ride may still, even though we've mastered the design of the target top, the one piece, essentially, you're going to still have to come up with designs for each one of the other ones, whether it be a T-top assembly, you know, building framing and structure for that top to sit down onto, you know, individually on a left and a right basis, plus hinges and latches, pivot points. You know, it's a lot of things you got to factor in when you do this kind of molding and modding and things that just aren't supposed to be, and you're trying to make them be.
And Bub, one of the things that you're very concerned about with from a design perspective is whether it creaks, whether it rattles, whether it seals, whether it shakes. You know, you don't want any imperfection in that, and you're going in and making a factory type fit and finish. One of the, for example, Bub, this car was butchered beyond butchering. The rear hatch cover was release was broken. The cables that they used and ran were, look, you're shaking your head. Just in disbelief, you know, and although the client wants his car back, you can't send it out the door like that, because what happens? Your name's on that.
Well, it was bubblegum together, man. And it was only a matter of time before this broke and that broke and this piece was falling apart and this was getting rubbed on and painted on. And, you know, that's not the way you want to turn anything over to a client, you know, whether it be, you know, a week or whether you be 6 months behind on delivery, you want that quality right, man. And that's another thing I'm doing right now on that 991 Porsche, man. I'm doing the GT3 conversion to it, and it's
slow
and steady,
mess?
Bro. It's you know, you get these body kits and these wide body kits and these panels and these, you know, all this aftermarket stuff, and everybody wants to snap their fingers and get it done fast.
You can't.
You know, but for perfection, you just have to literally go slow, one hole at a time, honestly. Like, you start somewhere on bumpers, for example, that we're doing on this GT3 conversion. The fitment is absolutely poor at best. And it's, you know, what I did is I mocked up, I started in the center and I worked my way out to the left and I worked my way out to the right on the bumpers, you know, so it's, you start by putting one mounting hole in and one mounting pin, and you just modify and alter from there until you've got just beautifully smooth fitment. So now when I'm done with that thing, I can take it off the car very easily, no fighting, no fussing, nothing like that. Walk it next door into the paint shop, scuff it with 400 and shoot and clear it. And then I walk it right back over and stick it on the car. And it's just that simple. You're not going to have to, it's painted, you know, when it's painted, you're not going to have to fight it and push on it and, you know, try to hammer on it and modify and stretch it and have one person pulling while another's tightening it in. And you don't do that kind of stuff. You just go slow and you make it happen until it's 100%. And then you say, okay, it's ready. Put it in the paint shop.
Yeah. And that's just it. People don't understand. It takes time. You got to slow that down. And you can catch that on all of our social media as well, ladies and gentlemen. It's out there. We do put it up there. We do let people see it. But the time that you take and invest now up front pays dividends on the backside, because you're able to progress rather rapidly on the backside when the next one comes in. Bob.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. We also are working with, you're finishing up the world's first 2018 5-liter six-speed manual Hellion twin turbo car. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, man, it's another insane ride, dude. It's you know, another one that's just going to lay down some raw power, man. Twin turbo 5.0 liter, brand new 2018, straight from Ford. This thing's an absolute beast, man. Running 7.5 pounds of boost, powered by Precision Turbo from John Uris at Hellion Turbo Systems. Absolute beast, man. And you know, totally safe and reliable at 7.5 pounds on that motor, pushing over 700 horse. No problem at all. Today's cars, that is a no-brainer, building that kind of power anymore. And it's still funny because you still have clowns out on things like social media and Instagram and Facebook and all those things. And they throw, you know, everybody throws their comments up about something. Well, where'd you guys get that number from? Did you just guess it out of a box? No, bro. The average car in today's world comes with 500-plus horsepower when you buy something fairly basic anymore. I mean, the Challengers, the Camaros, the Corvettes, they're all in that range. So, you know, 465, 485, 550, sometimes north of 650 stock. So when you go and you put a couple pounds of boost on something, still being super, super safe, you're looking at about a 40% increase. Jesus Christ, pull out a calculator if you need help.
Well, Bub, here's the other thing too. Are today's dyno, would you say, almost going the way of the dinosaur?
No, no chance. I mean, you're always going to need a dyno to tune cars efficiently and properly.
So,
especially high horsepower stuff when you're really looking to squeeze every last bit out of it.
So to that point then, Bub, if we know that they're still around, if we know they're still available, would it be safe to say that when people like you are writing these tunes, you're an HP certified tuner, okay? When people like you are writing these tunes, you had to write a tune for this car, and we'll get into why this was so different in the first place. Is it not safe to say that these tunes, are put up on the dyno. They're put through the paces. They know what these cars are producing when it's built this way, and you drop this tune in, and there's your number.
Well, yeah, it's. I mean, especially too. Once you do a tune for a car and you've got a proven tune, you can take that tune and you can map it to any car virtually, as long as it's the same platform or very close. You know, and then you've got something that's proven. So if you've already done one tune on, for example, a 2018 Mustang twin turbo running 7.5 pounds of boost with catless downpipes, with X for an exhaust, you know, being brand, you know, the kit's going to be there. Everything's going to be there. And all you do is you just take that tune. Once it is maximized and efficient and dead on set, if you do that same exact install on another one or 700 of them, you can take that same tune and keep dropping it in and drop it in and drop it in. Your results are going to be the exact same every time.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in while we're waiting for the Tuttles to get a signal back, 714-242-5166. We'll take your calls and we'll answer your questions about these technological issues and things like that. If you're having problems with your car, if you're building a car you want to share with the world, 714-242-5166. I'll watch it and I'll pull it up here. But when it comes to this twin turbo car, there was one thing that set this car apart from everybody else, and it's the reason nobody could figure out how to get this car to run. What was that one item?
That's simple, man. It's because this is the first one done on a manual transmission.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And so it's nothing overboard. It's just a manual transmission application, and the kits haven't been installed yet on a manual trans. They've been installed on automatics, where there's different kinds of tunes you put to those. And that was a big flaw and issue in the way that this one was set up.
And Bob, when it comes to the to manual versus automatic transmissions, what is the difference in terms of these tunes? Why is it different?
Well, you know, in today's transmissions, you know, all electronic, fully electronically controlled. So you've got everything that car does in terms of its shift points, its pressures, how it shifts up, how it shifts down, how you go to, you know, go from a cruise to a wide open throttle, and it knows exactly what gear to find and what RPM to bring the motor to. All of that is computer controlled. It's all in a tune. And that kind of stuff gets really, really overwhelming if you don't know what you're doing and what you're looking for. And you got to know exactly how to do it.
Some of the things, Bub, you've talked about in terms of being able to tune a car and its transmission, you talk about its ability to limit the torque through the transmission. What is that? What does that mean from a technical perspective with today's thing? Used to be back in the day, you just got in and you put it in gear and drove your car, manual or automatic.
Right. So, you know, back in the day when there was nothing in terms of electronics controlling transmissions, when things were typically manually operated. So you had governors, you had, you know, shift servos, you had things that would literally change under pressure and line pressure that would naturally make this thing just shift from either centrifugal weight swinging around. It would shift you into the next gear, or a cable, like a TV cable, a throttle valve cable, or a kickdown cable. You would have different cables, different types of things that would control what that trans does. And it was all kind of based off just the throttle. Well, now you have so much involved in the transmission that you can literally control this thing all the way down to how much torque is being passed through that transmission. So if it feels 700 foot-pounds of torque on the input side of it, you can literally limit that gear, first gear, second gear, third gear, to only put out 200 foot-pounds on the backside at the drivetrain side going to your wheels. So there's a lot there in terms of torque limiters, things that you can adjust, parameters you can change and modify, that a lot of today's cars come right out of the gate with them really down-tuned, and you can just open them up with a simple tune.
And so, Bob, what is the purpose of limiting that torque to the transmission? Why
control,
do that? Why
power
not just,
control.
Why not just give the client the car fully open?
I mean, look at today's cars. They're coming again with so much power that would you want to take a car that's 750 horse, 850 horse, give it to a client that may have zero chance and zero idea how to run that car? Plus, at the same point in time, they're building that kind of car and design for longevity. They're building it for reliability. Now, if you open it up and that trans can only handle 600 foot-pounds before that thing blows apart and you're running 1,200 foot-pounds, well, you're asking for a disaster.
So is that the case? Is Ford, Chevrolet, you know, Chrysler, are they putting those cars out there like that intentionally? There used to be a time where they called it planned obsolescence in the American automobiles. You know, they would intentionally, they'd build them to break down. Is that what they're doing today?
No, they're built for longevity now. They're built for reliability. They don't want those cars back in there having transmissions put in them every 6 months because some guy put a pro charger on his car and he's blowing his trans out because it's too much power.
Is it their responsibility, there being the manufacturers, does it become their responsibility to assume that warranty then if somebody's going out and doing these performance upgrades?
Well, it doesn't. That's why things like that void warranty.
Yeah. But a lot of time, especially in today's society, people, you know, act like they're owed that. even though they shouldn't have probably done or outbuilt the parameters of the vehicle.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Fine line to skate.
It's a very fine line to skate. And we've talked about how when you put a pro charger or a supercharger or a turbocharger on a motor, what limits can you walk up to without getting into the dangerous zone?
Yeah, you know, it's when you start working at stuff like that, you're working with boost pressures, man. So you got to be super, super safe with it. You know, you could go 1 pound too much, and that could be all it takes for either your motor, trans, rear, or something to blow.
And we have seen, Bob, continually, we've seen vehicles in here. We had one based on the SEMA Mustang, a white one that we did. We saw where that it was at a previous facility, and that went through, what, two motors and a transmission while it was there?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you do that?
Being a total retard, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's just total inexperience.
But then what happened was at the end of the build, you wound up having to, it wound up being, when you got into this thing, it was so poorly built, Bob, from every aspect. You went back to all OEM parts with mm-hmm. the car and got it set up properly so the car would run.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't know what was going on with the internals of the motor, though.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you address that?
Play it safe.
And?
That's it. That's all you can do.
So did you run higher boost, lower boost? What did you do with that?
I just ran a standard boost pressure that I know that motor, if it was untouched, can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best thing you can do. Now, that motor may have been built internally. According to receipts, was built internally to handle a lot more than we were throwing at it. But you know what? If you consider, you know, and compare it to the rest of the build style, there's no chance I would even roll that dice.
And that was the problem we were in. We were in the position of liability because we had no idea, based on what we saw on the outside of that build, we had no idea what the quality of the inside of that build was and where that left us.
Yeah.
And that's a liability you kind of assume when you work on some of these cars. But remember, that car came in for just a tune.
Yeah.
Right. Good morning to Johan Fremlin. He's out there watching. Johan, where are you from? That's an overseas name, European name. I'd like to know more about where you're from and where you're watching from. Please let us know here. 714-242-5166. The studio lines are open. We'll take calls today, Bob.
Yeah.
So we got the 2016 Mustang out there, Bob. We've got the GTX1. We've got the BEM 991 Porsche out there. All very high-end exotic rides that you're working on. What else?
We got some crazy stuff in the works, man. We've got some pretty solid pro touring rides are finishing up right now. We've got a crazy build we're doing on a Jeep JK that's just going to be insane, man.
It is,
it's just
man.
North of six figures into this thing, so it's going to be pretty hefty for a Jeep. What else we got going on right now? Just crazy stuff, man. Everything from, you know, stretch and custom bikes to, you know, doing service and maintenance on Harley. So it's, you know, a little bit of everything here at BEM. We're having a lot of fun with it and just, you know, really rolling some crazy, insane stuff out on the streets.
By the way, did you see that Rough Country has now made us an official dealer installer, Bub, there? And we are listed on their website now, man.
I saw this.
How about that?
Yeah.
And there was nothing north or south of us for 25 miles in the truck or Jeep industry that was servicing or building Rough Country vehicles, man. And now we're going to be doing some more of that. But we do a lot of that right now with the Miami Marlins and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're doing a lot right now. This one Jeep we're building is getting ready to rock on a set of, it's going to be literally Rough Country's 6-inch long arm suspension kit. That thing's going to be insane, dude. You know, 6 inches up from the lift alone, then we're going to a 40-inch wheel and tire package, and that thing's going to be, so figure the factory Jeep size is going to be just that 30 inches for overall tire diameter, 29.8, and you're going to go into a 40-inch conversion, so it's going to be another 5 inches increase there, plus 6 on the lift, so 11 inches total this Jeep's going to lift.
So, but what's that going to do for drivability? That's a small 6-cylinder trying to pull that weight around, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, for the driving that it's doing, what's nice is this is a new Pentastar motor. And, you know, for what kind of driving this thing's going to do, this will be a street queen down here in South Florida. It's not going to be anything that's really put to use off-road in terms of, you know, heavy off-roading, rock crawling, mud bogging, none of that stuff. It's just going to be nothing more than a street queen. So for the kind of cruising it does, the drivetrain that's in the Jeep now already with the 373 gears is more than enough just to pull that thing around.
I had somebody just stop me in the gym the other day who was watching that build. I guess he considers himself a foremost authority on Jeeps. He's saying that you've got to change the axles and the gear ratios and this and that in order for that Jeep now to get around. Is that true?
No chance.
No chance?
Yeah, no. It all depends on the driving you're doing, man. And, you know, when you're going with this kind of setup, you're going to be driving the thing, just cruising it around on the street, not racing the thing. Obviously, you're not racing any Jeep. So you're not looking to get out of the hole incredibly fast and try to plant some insane sort of gobs of power. But there are, you know, there are upgrades out there that if you want to take this thing and go to the next level, you can use an Edelbrock supercharger, you can use a RIP supercharger, and you can put them over the 450 mark in terms of horsepower. On a Jeep, that's pretty solid. That's the same thing as getting an SRT8 motor dropped in it.
But, Bub, you know, the RIP superchargers, the Jeeps that we've seen here come in here with the RIP superchargers, I wasn't particularly pleased with the machine quality of it. And it's been a little heavy and intensive on the engines as well.
Yeah, that's not one that I would naturally build with. I wouldn't go to it by default. Edelbrock actually released one out at SEMA this past year, SEMA 17. They released direct fit for the new Pentastar motors that push them right over that 450 horsepower mark at the tire, which is pretty hefty, man, for that little motor. And, you know, that's a pretty good amount of power to be pulling around a Jeep. So if you did do a supercharger, you wanted to go faster, you wanted to pull that weight a little bit more, the weight of the wheels and tires, you could really do it. You could upgrade that power right there, and then you could do a, you know, upgraded front and rear diffs in it and, you know, really get that thing planted down in the ground.
All right. But now let me ask you this, Bob. If you supercharge it, what do you have to do now to the internals of the motor? Go back into that.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have to in a case like this. If you're just doing, you know, again, you start working with companies that are proven in the industry. You work with companies that have already done that R&D and they've built packages. So when you call and you place these orders or you email or you just buy straight off a website, you're buying a package that is already designed and pre-built for that system. So you're getting a supercharger that is set for, you know, 6 pounds of boost, 7 pounds of boost, whatever it may be. And it's perfect. It's not going to give you something that blows up, that forces your motor to blow up, that causes any damage internally, nothing like that.
So now what's it going to do for drivability? The Tuttles are trying to call back in now, Bub. They did lose service. What's that going to do for drivability, Bub? That's a lot of lift. That's a lot of tire on that, on the road.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's a lot of lift. The in terms of the suspension lift, that's not where you're changing what the vehicle's pulling around. Where you're changing what the vehicle's pulling around and getting that power to the ground is the size and the weight of the wheel and tire. And that's where you can look at changing gears, front and rear. Naturally, the axles that are in it are perfectly fine and solid for street driving. Of course, you're not doing any crazy off-roading, any crawling, nothing like that. This is nothing more than a street queen.
Yep.
So it's going to be perfectly fine on the setup that's already there.
How's it going to handle when it hits a big puddle of water? You know, here in South Florida, we get a lot of rain, Bub.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the rain pockets on the sides of the road.
Yeah.
How will that handle if it hits a big puddle?
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky one. We'll just have to find out, huh?
40-inch tires, man. That's a lot of.
You got to think too. Over 1-inch deep lugs on the actual tires. The tire lug itself, the tread pattern.
Lug
is over,
being what?
That's what I'm saying. The tire lug, the tread.
Okay, the tread, not the lug that holds it on.
No.
Okay.
So over 1 inch deep. You've got plenty of room for that water to travel out.
Right on, man. Right on. So you think it'll be okay. You don't think it's going to be a problem. You don't think it's going to be problematic. It's going to be all right for the Jeep to go through there. So you got somebody out there. Oh, your headphones die, Bub? I'm sorry, man. That happens sometimes.
No, they keep beeping in my ear.
What are they beeping for? Do you have extraterrestrial beings calling you, Bub?
Yeah.
Could they? What do you think they're saying to you? They're saying beep, beep. Here, you want this? And that's how it goes in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. And you're seeing it live right there. There you go. There's some squeak right there for you, Bub. All right. How do you like the way those sound, man?
Yeah, these things are killers, dude.
Are they?
What do we got here?
Do they sound better for you?
Yeah, sound way better.
Do they really?
Hey.
So what was beeping in your ear?
I don't know. They've been beeping all morning long.
That's right. You did say something. You thought it was the air conditioning at first.
Oh, they're dead.
You?
Yeah, are they're dead.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, okay, so I haven't charged them in about 7 months.
You haven't?
No.
Why not?
You know.
Don't you put those on when you don't want to hear anybody talk to you out there?
Well, you know what's funny is I actually thought that because these are wireless, right? These are the Dre Beats wireless studio things, whatever. I thought that these were, so when they're wireless, I thought that's when they run on battery. I thought when you plug them into this little deal, they automatically turn on. I thought that was like a...
Oh, right on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's
you thought they were charging?
Yeah.
So what do you have to do to charge them then?
Plug them in.
Where?
To the wall.
That's not a plug for the wall, Bob.
No, I got that. It's a little mini USB. I just got to go do it.
I get it, man.
I'm not going to do it right now.
You're not. How do those sound to your ears?
Terrible.
Do they really?
Junk.
They don't give you the Dre sound?
No, absolute junk, dude.
I love these Shures, man. These Shures are very, very clear and everything.
These are terrible.
Are they really?
Yeah.
You already threw the one pair. I think it's dead. What does Senior say? Here's Johnny.
Hey.
And he comes crashing through the door.
That's pretty funny.
Right, man?
Yeah.
And so you're feeling, Bub, that this will be okay. This South Florida Jeep's going to be all right on 40-inch wheels, huh?
Yeah, man, it's going to be sick, dude. I'm really excited and stoked to get the job done, but it's just I've got so much on my plate right now. I just can't. you know, again, I can't rush that perfection, and, you know, I'm not going to. So, no, you know, between building this one-off Porsche we're doing right now, the full GT3 conversion on that, plus doing this GTX1, the 4 GT body conversion, plus the twin-turbo Mustang, I'm doing all the custom paint and carbon on. You know, there's a lot of rides right now that are in the works. I'm literally painting like 12 different colors at one time. So I don't know what the freak I'm even painting anymore.
You know what, Bub, you do. You do know what you're painting. And my biggest job here is I have to act as a buffer between, you know, you and the client, because you're not going to put a whole lot of people on staff. That's not something we do.
No.
We keep it tight here. We keep it very, very tight here in terms of the staff. There are just too many hacks out there in the industry.
Well, it's a shame too, because I would love to have a full team. You know, I'd love to just have somebody that I could say, you know, hey, like, guess what, bro? Like, here's what I need you to do. Here's your checklist. Just don't talk to me. I don't even want to see you. I don't even want to hear from you. Just get these things done. Let me know when they're ready.
We don't
like that. That's it. Like, I don't even want to hear from you. I don't want to see it. I don't want any drama, nothing.
And you know what, Bub? If anybody out there wants to apply, please feel free to do that. Sales.
For sure.
Sales at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.
Listen, it's not hard to stick a piece of sandpaper in your hand. If you've got a set of eyeballs and you understand the English language, not hard to work.
Too many people today don't understand English, even if they're American.
I know.
They understand.
I told you that yesterday in the gym, dude. People are just flatline dumb anymore.
Yeah, when we're walking in. Yeah.
Everybody walks around like a bunch of slugs staring into their phones. They're so irrelevant, totally pulled out of what the environment is around them. People would have no idea if somebody's getting raped in a bush next to them anymore in today's world. They're just so freaking dead to their phones. And I swear to God, dude, it's a shame.
So here's the thing. I was driving. I think we were going. I was driving yesterday. Was kind of funny, man. It was kind of a funny thing. I left one car here and drove the other car home, got home, didn't have the garage door opener because it was in the other car. Told Kenny, meet me somewhere so I can get the garage door opener.
Yeah. And you blew my whole workout up about 25 messages about that crap.
Then I get all the way home and forget that Robin's got a key hidden, for me, so I can get in because, well, I have that way about me. I'll forget anything, Bub.
Yeah.
You know that, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been running back and forth for an hour. Don't need to do it. And on the way back, I'm frustrated, man. I'm really frustrated. I just want to go. And this guy is weaving all over back and forth, uh-huh. and back and forth and back and forth in front of me. And sure enough, man, you get up next to him and he's texting on his phone.
Yeah.
Do they think about it?
Nope.
The damage?
Nope.
And, you know, how about those of us on motorcycles?
Well, how about just the simple fact of, you know, screwing somebody else's stuff up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you naturally sideswipe somebody's junk. I mean, that happens to people all the time. We know, man, we've had players that have just come in here and just driving down the road, they get freaking sideswiped because people are off just in la la land doing whatever the heck it is they're doing. It's like, you don't understand that one text you just did either could have been A, life or death, or B, just cost this guy 10 grand on a $250,000 car because you sideswiped all the way down the side of it. And it's going to take me another 2 months to get it right.
To get it fixed. Good morning to Lewin Hayden out there. Lewin says, Bub, if we have a couch to sleep on, he'll come work with us.
Hey,
he'd have to stop driving.
Giddy up.
Right. Come on down, man. Come on down. The Players Lounge, they've got black reclining chairs in there. You can sleep on one of those.
Yep.
God knows everybody. You remember when we were doing the Bucky Dent build for Velocity, Bub, and we were working around the clock? Remember that?
Yeah.
We were doing that show
mm-hmm.
for South Beach Classics.
Mm-hmm.
The girls literally slept in the Players Lounge. They'd bring food out to us while we were working around the clock. And they'd bring, because remember, even the film crew wasn't here. They had GoPros running.
Yeah.
That's how they filmed it. And you and I were the only ones working. Man, it was chilly and
you
hungry.
Were just breaking everything. So it wasn't helping at all.
No, I was. It wasn't helping at all.
No.
But at least I was there.
Yeah, that doesn't really help.
In spirit.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. The girls slept in those recliners. Remember that?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I was working.
Were you?
Yeah.
So you never came in?
No.
What'd you do? Pee in the parking lot or something?
I don't think I ever peed that night.
No, man. But it wasn't just that night, man. It was around the clock, man.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
So people think that those TV cars, because of TV, it just happens like that, Bub, and it doesn't happen that way.
Well, and they also think that if you put 500 people on it, it happens in a week. And trust me, it still doesn't happen.
We're coming to the top of the hour, Bub. 500 people mean 500 mistakes because...
Oof.
That people,
you have no idea.
Yeah, people.
Trust me, man. People are careless.
And there's no.
The more hands you put on it, the sloppier the work gets.
That's
I'm telling you right
correct.
Now.
That's
everybody's
correct.
Rushing. Nobody wants to step on anyone's toes. Chip, you don't want to get close.
All
you
of them.
Man, you end up with more of a disaster than it's worth.
Every time, Bub.
Yeah.
Every time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry that the Tuttles dropped off, but I promise we'll get them in here next week, Bub. They really, really are excited. Joni's texting. with no service, Bub. We apologize for that. But you know what? We got to talk to him a little bit, and you got to hear from a lot of the behind-the-scenes things that, Bub, you get to do today. This
yeah.
week. So we're going to jump out of here, Bub. This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. By Orange County Choppers. Orange County Choppers are, Bub?
Choppers done Bubba style.
Miss Outlaw Boutique. Miss Outlaw Boutique is on the web at missoutlawboutique.com. Right, Bub? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We're going to see you Monday morning at 11 o'clock right here from the main build facility at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Until then, we want everybody to go out and have an amazing weekend and just reach out to touch somebody's life in a positive manner. Till Monday, Bub.
Keep on doing it Bubba style.